Hello, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the radio show that talks to you about the Akashic Records, that answers your questions about your life, that answers your questions about how things work. This is a program where you understand a little bit more about what your soul's intention is, to understand what the bigger picture is, to understand a little bit more about why things are the way they are. So what are we going to talk about tonight? You know, again, this program is as good as your questions, and we've had some wonderful questions come forward. I have some great emails that maybe we'll get to. And I say maybe because last time we were having such great conversations on the telephone, I didn't get to a whole lot of emails. But I want to give you the numbers that you can call in. The telephone number here, you can call toll-free. You probably have them up on your screen, but if you're streaming this, I want to give you the numbers. It's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 in Canada. And if you'd like to dial direct, if you're out of the country, our country code is 01, and the telephone number is 530-876-3222. And if you're listening into this program and you find benefit and you'd like to share it with your friends, these programs are archived for your listening pleasure and for your heart's expansion. I'd like to let you know that each program is infused with love. Each program is infused with light. And it's my intention that we anchor and ground more light onto the planet with every breath we take. For it's we who can change the tide. It's we, the light workers, and you know, we call ourselves light workers, but in truth, everyone is a light worker. And we have a telephone call to start out the day. Oh, that's great. Hi, caller.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Donna. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Who are you? What's your name?
My name is Vicki.
Vicki. And where are you calling from, Vicki?
I'm calling from Tucson.
Tucson.
Uh-huh.
Tucson, Arizona. Well, great. Have you listened to the program before?
Oh, yes, several times.
Oh, great. Well, I'm so glad you called. How can I help you tonight?
Well, I don't know if other people my age in the 50s are having trouble with their children, but, you know, everything that my children have done to me, I actually did it to my own mother, and I'm just wondering if I didn't put something on the Akashic Records so that I'd have to play out that karma with my own kids, the things that I did with my parents in the 60s, my children doing it to me now.
What kinds of things are going on, Vicki?
Well, my son is having a lot of trouble with alcohol and drugs.
Uh-huh.
He's in his 20s. He's doing okay now, but it's been rough for about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
My daughter, she's 26.
What's your son's name, hon?
His name is Justin.
Okay, and how old is he?
He just turned 25.
Okay. And your daughter?
And my daughter is 26, and
uh-huh,
her name is Kristen.
Okay.
And my husband and I have been divorced for about 6 years, and we both have worked so hard to have professional careers. He's a professor. I'm a speech pathologist. We've given our children everything, but they just have just given us nothing but trouble with drugs. And my daughter's growing marijuana up in Northern California for months. Oh, it's just, why? She's so smart. Why isn't she in college? Why didn't, you know, what's... And, you know, I kind of did that to my parents when I was young, too.
What did you do?
Back in the 60s.
What kind of stuff did you do?
Well, back in the 60s, what we did is we did a lot of drugs.
Uh-huh.
We partied a lot on the beach down in Florida. We sold drugs. We we did those kind of things, and we really knew we shouldn't do that.
But somehow
I ended up pulling myself away from that life and went to college and graduated in my late 20s.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been fine ever since. You know, I've been working 30 years, and I haven't ever had any desire to do drugs or, you know, everything's been fine.
But
my husband, too, he actually, he trains counselors to be substance abuse counselors.
Right.
But so I don't know if this is just part of my karma. It was in the record for me to, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you what's in
there. Sure. No. Let me give you some feedback on this.
And, okay.
Did your daughter ever go to college, or she didn't? She just took off for California. When did she take off for California?
When she was 16, we were living in North Carolina, and she wanted to go to Marin County and go to massage therapy school. So
at 16?
At 16. So I flew her out there and got her a place to live and enrolled her in school there to be a massage therapist. And she's just been on her own ever since. But she doesn't do massage therapy. Somehow she got wrapped up in this Northern California growing pot for big dollars. It's all supposedly legal.
So at 16 you kind of let her be on her own while you supported her.
Yes.
And talk to me about how you feel about that decision.
She said that she was too young to go out to California on her own. But that's all I heard. I want to go to California. I don't like North Carolina. I want to move to California. And
who said that she was too young? I didn't hear that.
Maybe she was too young. Maybe I should not have let her go, but she wanted to go so badly, and everything worked out just fine. I got her a place there in Marin County. She went to school. She liked it. She got her credentials to be a licensed massage therapist by the time she was 18, but she never pursued it. She got wrapped up into saving the trees and saving the redwood trees, and then this whole thing with growing marijuana up in Northern California, like in, I don't know the town, I don't want to say. Really,
no, that's
there's
not.
There's a lot of kids that do that,
sure.
A lot of young people that are doing that right now.
Well, the issue is what is your relationship with both your kids right now?
Good. It's good, but I have to accept them the way they are. I mean, they didn't go to college like my husband and I did, like we wanted them to. They, you know, my son's going to school for a trade, and I don't know. He's in limbo right now.
And so let me just kind of see what the records say about this. See, the issue is when you say you have a good relationship with your kids, what the record keepers are asking you to define, what is a good relationship? And wait a minute. You have to be real. No, I'm going to ask you to speak from your heart. What is your definition of a good relationship, and where are you within that definition with your kids?
I want them to be happy. I want them to tell me what's going on in their life. I don't want them to lie to me. I don't want to hear I'm growing lavender when she's really growing pot,
uh-huh.
Marijuana. And she says she's growing lavender now in Northern California. I don't know. We all want to get together for Christmas in North Carolina, so I'm making an attempt to be there with my ex-husband and our kids over the holidays. They want me to be there. They want the whole family to get back together for Christmas. And so I guess the definition is I want them to be independent and happy. but I don't want them to call me for money. I don't want them, you know, to keep taking from me. My son stole $4,000 from me a couple of months ago when he was living here and went to Vegas and just blew it in a weekend. You know, those are, it's hard to forgive somebody for that. I don't think I ever did that to my own mother. I never
stole. Well, why, wait a minute. When he did that, what kind of consequences did he get?
He got, I called the police and they came and arrested him for domestic violence because he was threatening my daughter for telling me that he had stole the money from me. And so I called the police and the police came and picked him up and took him to jail, but they said there's nothing they could do about the money. So he had to spend several days in jail for the domestic violence, which attempts at domestic violence. And then when he got out, when I got him out, I put him on a plane because he wanted to go to South Carolina and be with friends. So he just, you know, I just kicked him out. That's it. No more. You don't get any help from me. You don't get any help from your father. You got to make it on your own. And that's basically what I did. I left my mother and just, you know, I took care of myself from the time I was 18 until this very day. I never ever went back home. I always found a way to support myself and put myself through college and things like that. I don't know why my kids do this to me other than that, you know, I was kind of a hippie type 60s person that kind of drove my parents crazy.
Well, you know something, Vicki, is the interesting thing about what we what's coming forward here is that, you know, what's important to remember is that unless we become very conscious, we parent the way we were parented.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our parents can be wonderful role models, and they can show us all the. Sometimes they can show us all the things we want to do, and sometimes they can show us all the things that we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece, though, that what I'm hearing here is one of the issues here that that need. In other words, like. They're taking me back to the point of you becoming real clear about being their mom rather than their friend.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you? It's like it's almost mm-hmm. like it doesn't make any difference whether they like you or not.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a point where for example. The fact that your son stole the money and you didn't press charges, I understand that's a hard thing for a mom to do. But what consequences did this boy receive for stealing money, and what was his motivation to steal it to begin with?
Well, I did try to press charges, but the police said unless you video somebody taking the money, there's no way that can you can press charges. You have to basically video somebody. He said he didn't steal it. I said he did. So that was dismissed. That was dropped.
Okay. I'm talking about you put him on a plane and sent him someplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, he stole money from you, and you still helped him out.
Yes, to get him away from this town, because Tucson is loaded with drugs and crack and.
Uh-huh. No. What's being said here is that I understand that you what you were trying to do is protect him as well as get him away from where you're at. Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what is and so he's in a trade school now?
Yes.
So what you're asking is did you create this karma because of the way you behaved with your parents?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is no.
Mm.
It's not about karma.
Okay.
What's happening here is it's not about I did this to my mom before I'm getting it back in return. What's happening is it's not about that. It's about what it's a what's happening here, it has to do with your personal level of self-esteem and willingness to respect yourself. That and what they're saying is that there's something that with whatever happened with you and your husband also set a precedent for these kids to somehow not respect you.
Okay.
Or respect the relationship somehow. There's a codependency here. There's an enabling here that you need to really take a step back and look at how are you enabling these relationships. And in other words, like, there's one thing about accepting people for who they are. There's another thing about enabling them to do what doesn't fit your values. Do you understand what that means?
Yes.
I mean, can you identify with that?
Yes.
So the piece here is that when the kids say they want to all go back to the Carolinas to be together for the holidays, what are they actually asking of you?
That's why I don't know.
But the idea here is, do you want to be with them?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
Okay. And in your mind, what's your vision of the get? Is it going to be just you and the two kids and your husband?
Uh-huh. Ex-husband. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I mean, do you have a house there, or he has
yeah.
a house?
Mm-hmm.
And so, see, what's happening here is they want the family to get together. Do they have a sense that they want you and he to get back together?
I think so. Uh-huh. I think that's true.
And how realistic is that?
I don't think so, because he's a professor over there in North Carolina, and I live in Arizona, and I love it here, and I never liked North Carolina. It's not, Eastern North Carolina is not for me. And I'm right where I want to be. If he were to come here, I could see that. But he's pretty much set where he is.
But you don't love him, do you?
Well, I mean, I do. Yeah, I do. I'm kind of feeling sorry for him right now, because I've heard that he's got cancer, and it comes and, I mean, he's not in good health right now. And, you know, I don't know. He'd probably blame it on me that he's sick because of me, or something caused it, even though he knows you don't blame others for your reality, but he does. And, you know, my mother was one of those little good girls that never caused any problems growing up. She went to school. She made straight A's. She, you know, had five kids. She, you know, was always the little goody two-shoes. And then she ends up with five kids that are, like, bad kids. And then now I've got bad kids. And it just looks like it's a pattern.
Yeah, and the pattern has to do with self-respect.
Uh-huh.
There was like what I'm hearing is that there was like they're asking you to, and again, they're not, this is not about being guilty, it's about being aware.
Mm-hmm.
What they're suggesting is that you take a look at in what way did you bend to their demands rather than standing up and saying, that's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still have an ability to do that now. So the idea here is if your children are going to talk, they're just going to give me an example here. For example, if your children talk to you in a way that's not respectful, it's up to you to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
And say, wait, stop. You can't talk to me that way.
Uh-huh.
And it's really about looking at the relationships that you have with yourself and where the respect lies. Now, the other piece is that at this age of your kids, you know, it's almost like it's not your problem anymore.
Right, it isn't.
And,
I know.
And however they live their life, is you really have to let it go.
Okay.
You, and at the same time, you are not under any obligation to support them. You understand that, right?
You know, I've done everything I can up until now, and nothing seems to work. So I think you're right, and who's guiding us, I think they're right. They've got to just move on. They've got to be more independent.
Well, the idea here is, it's like that their choices have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needs to be learned. You know, you really need to look at the idea here is that every choice has a balance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Every choice takes you into a future. You know, whatever you choose today creates your tomorrow.
Absolutely, and that's why I was going back to look at all the things I did to my mom and my dad, and now look what's happening to me. My kids just aren't, we gave them everything, and, you know, they're just on the losing end right now.
But they don't have to be. They just have to learn to have their own responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when kids hit bottom is when they have to figure it out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece is that, I mean, and this is about, it's not about taking the rug and pulling it out from underneath them. It's about giving them some warning.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that if they ask you for money to be able to support themselves, The piece here is that you have a right to ask what the money's going for.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have a right to limit it. I mean, you're really not an ATM.
No.
And so the idea here is that you have to give them some fair warning. In other words, like, you know, you have to say, you know, to Christy as well as your son, you have to just let them know that, you know, the bank's closed.
Yes.
Okay. And they have to understand that. So, you know, but by giving them warnings, like, so prior to coming, you say, I just got to tell you guys, you know, the bank is closed. The economy is very hard right now, and so it's really up to you to make your own living.
That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In advance.
Yes.
Don't invite me there just so you can take money from your dad and I, you know.
Well, but it's not even about saying that. What you have to say is, I'm looking forward to seeing you, but I want you to understand that I don't have any extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that, do you suspect they're inviting you there because of money from you and their dad?
Well, I think it might be a little of the money, but at the same time, I think I am their mom, and they, you know, people get sentimental at holidays. Let's all get together and have a good time, but, you know, all the drama starts. And after everybody's nice the first day, and then all the crying and all the "you should have done this" and "you should have done that" comes out.
Right. And so they're telling you what you should have done.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Do you believe them?
No.
Why not?
I just don't. I mean, I could have been a crackhead mom, you know, like I work with children that have crackhead moms, and they are nothing near what my kids are. I mean, they're so much more grateful for what they have, and they try so hard in school. Sometimes
right.
It's almost, you can just spoil your kids so much that they, you know, just, like you said, they don't respect you.
Right. but know something, and then we're going to, in other words, like, I'm going to leave things for another caller. But what's important for you to know, Vicki, is that when kids want attention and they want to be loved, sometimes material things have nothing to do with the emotional support they truly want.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, there's nothing wrong with a parent coming back and saying, you know, I've never been a parent before, and I think I made some mistakes. And so for whatever I didn't do, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever I did too much of, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to tell you, I was doing the best I could with what I had,
mm-hmm.
based on what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you are both adults, and you have a choice now. You can choose to blame me for the rest of your life for what you don't have. Or you can be able to be an adult and say, everybody's human and they make mistakes. And then we can move into forgiveness for each other.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And that's true.
Yeah.
You say, there comes a point when we can no longer, and this is for everybody listening, this whole conversation is for everybody listening,
mm-hmm.
that we can no longer blame our parents. You know, if we've gotten to be 40 or 50 or 60 years old and we're still blaming our parents for what they did to us, then we better get a life.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is we can no longer carry that burden of guilt, either for what we did to them or what they did to us. It's done. There's no way you can go back and fix the past. You can only be present in the future about what you're willing to accept and what you're not willing to accept.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
And also, it's what's coming forward to also is for you to get real clear about what part you feel you played in enabling them and just not doing it anymore. At the same time, figuring out a different way to show them you love them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like, if you feel that they are trying to take advantage of you that dollar-wise, then somewhere along the line they've got you in a stronghold where you feel guilted into giving them money.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what you have to do is get rid of that guilt.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff going on here, Vicki, that you'd probably do well with a full hour or an hour and a half with me privately.
Okay.
So you may want to consider that.
I will.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so
much.
You
take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, my heart goes out to Vicki and her family and blessings for a beautiful, beautiful life. But, you know, the karma that we create is really more about being willing to release that which no longer serves us. And there comes a time as a parent where we have to look at our children, our adult children, if you will, and literally cut the cord of guilt. Because especially those of you who are listening who grew up in the 50s and 60s, as I did, it was a different world then than it is now. So the idea that, you know, when we were growing up, no one talked about alcoholism. They really didn't. It was like if somebody's parents were drunk, they were just drunk. That was kind of accepted, at least in when I was growing up. And what in the neighborhood I was in, it's like that's just kind of the way it was. That's just the way they were. Nobody said, oh, they're alcoholics. And in fact, that label didn't even come up at all. In fact, I've got to tell you that both my parents were alcoholics, but I didn't even realize they were alcoholics until I was 40 years old. It never occurred to me that they were actually alcoholics because there's so many different kinds of alcoholics. And what I mean by that is my mom, you know, she was always there for me at lunch and she didn't work and that kind of stuff. And my father went to work every day, but he drank on the weekends. And she drank after I went to sleep at night. And that's the way they lived. And there wasn't an occasion that didn't have alcohol in it, that was a celebration. And there wasn't an occasion that didn't have some type of, that had a celebration, that there wasn't an argument. And I know that there are people out there that can identify with what I'm talking about. But that's just the way it was. We never talked about alcoholism. But yet we all grew up in dysfunctional houses. I don't have one friend that didn't have some dysfunction in their house. Not one. Because I don't believe there is such a thing. I mean, we're all dysfunctional in one way or another. But we can no longer blame our parents for who we are or what they did and didn't do, because you know what? They were doing the best they could with what they had. And I understand that there are people out there who have been abused by their parents, both emotionally and physically and mentally. I got that. I got that real well. And I can really identify. But there comes a time where we have to be able to move into our own personal center and release that bag of rocks. And sometimes we need help doing it. If we need help from a therapist or a counselor, then it's our responsibility to go get it. It's okay to admit that we need help. It's okay to admit that we were helpless as kids. It's okay to admit that maybe we, at certain times, weren't the best parents in the world. That's all okay. What's not okay is to carry that bag of rocks around your neck and walk around in a state that constantly puts you in a place where you blame yourself or others for why your life isn't working. If you don't like the way your life is working, then you have to look at what you're doing. How are you contributing with your attitude? And this might sound tough, but the idea is you are so deeply loved. You are so deeply cared for from spirit. You have so much to live for. You came to this planet for a reason. Every single person listening to this program and beyond has a purpose, not only to benefit themselves, but to benefit the planet. And it's not about being grandiose. It's not about being famous or being, you know, a major player. Because if we all just take responsibility for ourselves, the major player will be in the group consciousness that comes from us really anchoring more love. We have such a wonderful opportunity. This is such an important week. We have so much to be thankful for. And I truly hope that Vicki and her children and her ex-husband and all of you out there will begin to create a gratitude list. A gratitude list for your life, your environment. A gratitude list that you can read at the Thanksgiving table. One of our traditions in my home is we go around and we ask each one gathered what they're grateful for the year. At my home, we're going to have 17 wonderful family and friends. And each one will be asked, what are you grateful for? Including the children. Because gratitude and gratefulness is the most powerful thing that we can move into. That gratefulness and gratitude can bring us peace. And that peace can bring us joy. And from that peace and that joy will come love and appreciation of self. You know, we've all gone through some really tough times lately. And for those people who are curious, my Katy Cat is still around, but she's just hanging on. She's just hanging on. I've learned a lot from her this week, and I don't know if she'll be with me next week. I don't know. but I'd love to have your prayers for her. And if there are any animal communicators out there that would like to call in and share some information about Katie Cat with me, I'd be happy to talk to them. That'd be great. Telephone number here is 877-876-5227. If you're in the U.S. and Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country, you can call direct. Our country code is 01, and it's 530-876-3222. I've got a great question come up in the email. But before I get to that, I want to tell you all, I would love to talk to any pet communicator that wants to talk to me, but please call in tonight. Or you can call me privately if you'd like. My private number when I'm off the air is 216-691-1233. Or you can email me either your questions or any comments that you have about Katie, or any comments at all. Again, remember, ideas for the show at info@akashicwisdom.com. And if you'd like more information about what I do with the Akashic Records, please go to the BBS Radio program information for Akashic Wisdom, and there's a whole bunch of information you can read there. Also, for those people who are interested in learning how to access their own Akashic Records, I am offering a class in December right at the solstice, and it is going to be on December 20th and 21st. So it is a very auspicious night and time of the year. That is definitely the time of the solstice, where you can really connect with your soul's wisdom, and that's what you're going to learn how to do when you learn how to read your own personal Akashic Records. So if that's of interest to you, please give me a call as well. But anyway, so let's get to this question. And again, animal communicators, give me a call. Even if you're an amateur animal communicator and you're just starting out, I'd love to talk to you. And or if you're a professional animal communicator and you'd like to get your name and information out there, we'd be happy to be able to thank you by putting that out into the international ethers, if you will. So the question here, this is a very interesting question. It says, can you ask the record keepers about keeping our health during this time when our food, our seeds, organics, access to vitamins, and our right to health freedom is being legally challenged? And what frequencies of sound or music would be helpful, if any? Well, that's a very interesting question. What's really important here, what's absolutely key when it comes to your food, okay, what's absolutely key when you're working with food is that when you're planting, remember we need to look at the fact that we are in a very real way all part of the same material. We all are this frequency and vibration. And what's coming forth from the records is that if we live in fear, that fear permeates us. It creates an energy around us that brings more fear to us. And so we have to look at what's going on with the way we are ingesting food. And we can literally change the vibration of that food and those seeds through our intention. And that intention is love. And that may sound simple, but the reality is the way to stay healthy is to move into awareness, not to be afraid of fear, but to acknowledge fear and then neutralize it. We can no longer be paranoid. We have to be aware. We can no longer be afraid. We have to be aware. We have to be aware of where our energies are being pulled. And we have to be aware of what we do that creates our life the way it is. We are, each one of us, responsible for our own being. We are responsible for our own light, and we're responsible for not only what we put in our bodies, but what we have within our field of energy. And if each one would just be aware of the vibration of love and light within our own personal frequency, if you will, that would so help us. So here's what's important for you to understand. If it doesn't feel loving, it isn't. That's so important. If you're feeling uneasy about eating something, don't. If you want to plant your own food, do. If you want the seeds to be able to grow in a way that is meaningful for you, love them before you plant them. Plant them with the intention of love that you're going to feel with them. Be grateful for their being. And when you move into gratefulness, you will actually transmute any negativity. Remember, love is more powerful than anything. And remember, you are the creator of your life. That's so important. You must understand how important it is that you are the creator of your life. You are the one that makes the decision based on how you feel. That's so important. And so, to get back to this question about health and wellness, it's important that you move into, I'm speaking to Virginia now, that the frequencies, what they're showing me are tuning forks, that and crystal bowls. And so that, and they're also showing me pyramids, like pyramids that you put over food, or pyramids you put over seeds that will help them. It's something about the geometric dimensions that can actually shift the food along with your own personal intention and gratitude. So, but they're showing me tuning forks, and again, you can create your own pyramids, if you will. It's about reducing the dimensions down and trying to get the ratios so that the dimensions of the pyramid you would use over your food, or actually over your dishes of food, if you will, also, are like scaled down versions of the Great Pyramid. I don't know if that's helpful or not. I think they usually have things like that, but I'm not familiar with how you find them. But that would be very important for you to take a look at. They're also talking about, now I want to say that I'm not a doctor, and I don't prescribe remedies, and I don't say that I can cure things. But what's interesting here is the picture they're showing me is if there's anyone out there that is challenged with illness in their body, either from a system point of view or a lymph node, they're speaking of cancer, they're suggesting that you try putting either sitting in the under a pyramid or having the pyramids placed on your body where the illness is, where the dis-ease is. they're also talking about moving into a space of great love for those areas that are filled with the cancer cells and alkalizing those areas. And they're talking also about alkalizing the body, that's very important. So I don't know, there may be some people who are listening in who have challenges with cancer. And again, these are suggestions that you may want to try. But they're talking about allowing, there's something about the frequency of the pyramid. So if anybody knows about pyramid power, I'd love to talk to you. That would be an interesting program too. About why the dimensions of the pyramid creates such a vortex of energy that comes, it actually attracts light right through the top of the pyramid. That's what they're showing me. That there's dimensional shifts that go on. And so for those people who either that don't have pyramids available to them, that what they're suggesting is that you lay down and you visualize golden pyramids being suspended over your body. They're suggesting specifically that you suspend these pyramids in your mind's eye within a half an inch to an inch above the area of distress. And they're suggesting that you allow this pyramid energy to move into and the light to come right through the top of that pyramid and move into your body in a way that would neutralize, alkalize, and balance. So give that a shot. And yes, Virginia, that does hold true for the Monsanto disease. Yes, that's true. What I'm hearing is you can transmute anything and everything with love. That's very important. Very important. Very important. So again, I'm going to give the numbers, and we have about 5 or 10 minutes left in the show. And if you're in the U.S. and would like to call in toll-free, it's 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, you can call 888-815-9756. Or if you are out of the country or just want to dial direct, you can call 530-876-3222. I wanted to talk to you there was a question before we were talking about from a lady in Romania. And we were talking, and she emailed the question, and I'm just going to talk about it lightly here because I want to email her when I'm going to talk about it a little bit more in depth. But it's really about all of us talking about, her question was, how can I enjoy greater abundance, satisfaction, and fulfillment in career and relationship? And there's obviously no easy or quick answer to that because each one of us has individual issues that we're dealing with. But when we're talking about satisfaction and fulfillment in any areas of our life, we really have to become very clear about what our definition is of satisfaction and fulfillment. What does contentment really mean to you? And the reason that's important, it's about discerning and defining what prosperity is to you, what abundance is to you, what satisfaction is to you, what fulfillment is to you, an ideal relationship would be, and it's not about just the ideal relationship. I just want to make a comment when we're discerning relationships, it's not just what we would receive. It's not about what the other person would do for us. It's about what we would share together when you're creating your description. The reason that's important for you to discern where your satisfaction is and what would it look like if I were satisfied? What would it feel like if I were satisfied? What would it look like if I felt fulfilled? What would that feel like? How would I know it if it came to be? So we really want to be able to put those types of definitions down, because when we understand what we're going for, we have a much better chance of actually creating and manifesting it. Because words are just words. You know, words are just, you know, and they're not saying that they're empty so much as they are. They are different. Each one has a different definition. So my definition of satisfaction may be different than yours. So we have to understand what that means. And until you understand what that means, it's going to be impossible for you to find a measurement for it. And so if you're saying that you're feeling depressed because you don't have all that you want and you don't feel fulfilled, you have to look at what do you have and where, and what's the gap between what I have now and what I want to create, or what would happen if I felt fulfilled and satisfied. There's a gap there. And once you get and understand that gap, then you're going to have a lot better idea of how to create and manifest what you truly want. It's like, again, creating the roadmap. It's really about creating the roadmap. So I really want you to take a look at that. Really look at what are your definitions here. Because remember, and you've heard me say this so many times too, is that the universe can't possibly align itself with us, and we can't possibly align ourselves with the universe if we don't have a sense of what we're aligning to. You know, if you think about the fact that we have to look, and this is a kind of an interesting concept that they're talking about, is that where truly is our mind? We have a brain. Thoughts come to the brain from electrical impulses, maybe. But where is mind? Where does it reside? Where is the mind? Is the mind awareness? Is the mind consciousness? Is it all of the above? So, for example, a plant doesn't have a quote-unquote brain, but it does have awareness. There is a consciousness to it. Otherwise, why would it move toward the sun or away from the sun? There's an awareness of going after what it needs. So there is an awareness. And is that awareness mind? Is our mind in our body? Or is our mind a part of the collective consciousness that we can move into and manifest from? And if, in fact, that is true, then we truly can consider ourselves no longer to be victims and no longer to be prisoners of our own consciousness. Because if we can align with the universal mind, we can manifest through thought, pure thought, conscious thought, awareness thought, whatever it is we truly desire. Love to get some comments on that one. That was an interesting comment, wasn't it? Well, here we are. It's 5 minutes of 11:55. It's one more program of Akashic Wisdom has got to draw to a close. This is the week of Thanksgiving. May you all have a wonderful, wonderful, thankful, beautiful meal, a beautiful week. May you be surrounded with light. May you so be surrounded with love. May you feel the love within your heart for yourself. May you be grateful for you being a part of this planet at this time, in this place in history. For there's no one like you. You are so magnificently unique. Each one of us has an important purpose. May you be grateful for all that you have and all that you are, all that you are not, and all that you are yet to be. And with that, we're going to close the records for this wonderful, wonderful hour. I love talking to you, and I love having you talk to me. So keep the emails coming, and you can call me privately. Think about coming to the workshop in Cleveland in December. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all these wonderful beings of light. We ask that every single person hearing this, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Show on November 23rd, 2008, by saying, Amen, Amen, the records for this show are closed, Amen. Have a wonderful, miracle-filled week. Talk to you next week. This is Donna Fox, Akashic Wisdom. Have a great one. Bye-bye.